In June of 2013, Edward Snowden, a 29-year-old former CIA employee, leaked thousands of top-secret NSA documents to journalist Glenn Greenwald. Branded as a whistleblower, Snowden reignited a debate about private citizens who reveal government secrets that should be exposed but may endanger the lives of others. Like the late Karen Silkwood, whose death in a car accident while bringing incriminating evidence against her employer to a meeting with a New York Times reporter is still a mystery, Snowden was intent upon revealing the controversial practices of his employer, a government contractor. Rightly or wrongly, Snowden and Silkwood believed that their revelations would save lives. In his new book, The Whistleblower's Dilemma, Snowden, Silkwood, and Their Quest for the Truth, Richard Rashke weaves between the lives of these two controversial figures and creates a discussion of what constitutes a citizen's duty to reveal or not to reveal. Richard Rashke is the author of several nonfiction books, including The Killing of Karen Silkwood and Useful Enemies, and we welcome Richard Rashke to the roundtable this morning. Richard, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
My pleasure.
Why did you want to look and connect Edward Snowden and Karen Silkwood?
I saw some very, well, first of all, as a writer and as an analyst, I find making comparisons useful because they force you to ask questions you wouldn't ask otherwise. I saw parallels, important parallels between Silkwood and Snowden, and they attracted me, and I wanted to develop them further. Secondly, there was so much confusion, so much misinformation, so much lying dealing with the Snowden story that it was hard to figure out where is the story. You know, as journalists and writers, that's a big question we ask. Where's the story? So I decided to dig into those two stories, revisit Silkwood, and then make the comparison between what she went through, a different story, than what he went through, but parallels are strong.
And how much do you think of what he went through, and I mean, we don't have a final result, but he is where he is right now.
Right.
So how much of what he went through do you think was influenced by what we saw with Karen Silkwood?
A lot. For example, sociological research shows that the majority or the vast majority of people who blow a whistle are so naive. They don't realize the hell they're going to go through. They don't realize that they are going to unleash the dogs, and the dogs are going to attack. They're going to attack them from every single side, personal life, professional life, back history, whatever. They didn't realize that. Karen Silkwood was one of those who didn't understand the powers that be and the forces that she unleashed when she blew the whistle on the AEC, on the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, on the FBI, on the CIA, and on the NSA. These are powerful folks. Now, come to Snowden. Snowden had no illusions about how he was going to be attacked and about how his life would change radically. In fact, as he said, my life as I know it is gone forever. So he had both eyes open. And I think we can thank people like Frank Serpico, who blew the whistle on the police department, New York City Police Department, and Karen Silkwood and Daniel Ellsberg, all of whom suffered, and young Snowden got the message.
But do you think there is a reason that he is alive and Karen Silkwood died?
Yes, because he wasn't naive. I mean, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He said, the government will be after me, and what the government wants, it's going to get. Snowden believes that the government wants him assassinated. They want him dead. And so he took precautions, and the precautions were very simple. He simply fled the country, and he went to Hong Kong, which was a brilliant choice. and he protected himself from the long reach of the law. And some people consider him a coward for running, and he's far from a coward, because he said time and time again he's willing to come back and stand trial under one condition, that he gets the fair trial he's entitled to under the U.S. Constitution. If he's not guaranteed a fair trial, he will not return.
Is he a spy? Is he a traitor? Is he a criminal?
Well, first of all, let's begin with traitor, which is the most important of those allegations. And as you know, tap anyone on the shoulder who knows Snowden, knows of him, has read something about him. Two out of three will tell you he's a traitor. Legally, he is not a traitor. The very important to point out here that the Justice Department has not charged him with treason as it did Ethel Rosenberg, and she got the electric chair back in the 40s. They didn't, the Justice Department didn't charge Chelsea Manning, who leaked documents to WikiLeaks. She got 30 years plus with the possibility of parole in 8. So they didn't charge, prosecutors didn't charge him for treason because they don't have any evidence that he committed treason. To leak documents dealing with surveillance, illegal surveillance of American citizens, and tapping of telephones and collecting email messages and metadata about who they called, when they called, how long the call last, all of that stuff is not treasonable, because to commit treason, you have to help the enemy in a material way. And the Justice Department has not been able to make a case that he helped our enemies, although everybody says he did. So, in that sense, he's not a traitor. But there is a human definition of traitor. Someone who betrays his country. Could be emotional. In this case, people say he divulged American secrets, and therefore he's a traitor. Personally, I don't think he is a traitor in the legal sense until there is evidence to prove it. And the FBI, the CIA, the Justice Department have had almost 3 years to produce such evidence, and they haven't yet.
You quote Edward Snowden in the book as saying, "I want to spark a worldwide debate about privacy, internet freedom, and the dangers of state surveillance. I will be satisfied if the federation of secret law, unequal pardon, and irresistible executive powers that rule the world I love are revealed for even a second." So in that case, he pretty much got what he wanted, but you asked the question in the book, and I will ask you, was it worth it?
All right, let's go back and say that Edward Snowden is an unusual whistleblower for a lot of reasons. Not only is he most important whistleblower America has ever seen, but the fact is that the vast majority of whistleblowers who have been surveyed by sociologists have said, after blowing the whistle, they saw no changes, no significant changes in the behavior of the organizations they blew the whistle on. Furthermore, the majority said the bad guys walked. Nobody went to jail. And therefore, they blew the whistle for nothing. Karen Silkwood blew the whistle and accomplished very, very little. The only thing that she could come back today and say, look what I did, is she had an influence on firming up whistleblower laws. We still have a long way to go, but she did have an influence there. Now comes Snowden. He talks about it, even if he just get a few people to debate. He has the whole world debating. He has to be very, very pleased because that was his major goal. And not only that, he started off saying, I believe that what the NSA is doing in bulk collection is illegal and unconstitutional. a violation of the First and the Fourth Amendments, and the Second Circuit Appeals Court last year agreed with him and called the bulk collection illegal, unconstitutional, and a violation of those two amendments. So he has to be the happiest guy in the world, even though he can't come home.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, he's a young man in his early 30s. Has he given up his life?
He thinks he has. I don't think he has. The stumbling block is very simple. Most people don't realize this, but what the Justice Department is offering him, they want to bring him back to stand trial, but they're insisting on a closed, secret trial in accordance with a law that was passed in 1978, which is called the Classified Information Procedure Act. No one ever even heard of it. It's a law that allows the prosecutors, the Justice Department, to have a secret trial if they believe that during the course of an open trial, the person on trial will reveal classified information. So they're denying, at this point, as far as I know today even, open trial. Now, here's a question, Joe, for you and everybody else who's listening. Do you think that a secret trial in the United States of America in 2016 is a fair trial? Snowden says it is not. Grant me an open trial, I'll come home and take my chances.
Well, the name of the book is The Whistleblower's Dilemma, and it does give you many questions to ponder, like the one you just left us with. The Whistleblower's Dilemma, Snowden, Silkwood, and Their Quest for the Truth. The book is published by Delphinium Books. Richard Rashke, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, The Whistleblower's Dilemma by Richard Rashke. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.